Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Rock and Roll Psychic Radio. My name is Andy Brewer. Pray for me that I'm not electrocuted, but I wanted to talk to Susie, so I'm going to try to fight through the storm. My guest this evening is somebody I actually know, which is always an advantage. She is an astrologer. She is a psychic medium. She's a tarot reader. She does Reiki, and I know from friends of mine who have raved about her both as a Reiki master and as a psychic that she is really, really good at what she does. She studied at some pretty amazing places, too. Arthur Finley in England, Lilydale up in New York. She studied at Casadega down in Florida, so she has a very strong background with spiritualism. She is studying Dale Carnegie. She does Reiki training and attunements. She teaches classes on astrology, tarot, psychic development, mediumship. She's got a lot of media contacts. She's very, you'll be able to tell her in a few minutes. She has a very, she has a kind of a happy vibe. She's fun to talk to, so I can understand why she does a lot of TV and radio. But reading her bio, she has something I know nothing about, and I'm going to find out about it. She is the host of the Wicked Awesome Fortune Telly Show, so we're talking about that. She also does astrology columns for Brides.com, Bustle, Cosmopolitan, and El Decor, which is totally badass. She is cute as a button. She has this little gypsy wagon thing. It's amazing, and I like her. And so, in what is certainly the weirdest intro of her career, I want to welcome my guest this evening, astrologer, psychic medium, Susie Kerr-Wright, straight from Nashville, Tennessee. How are you?
Oh, that's fantastic. You just keep talking. I sound so good coming out of your mouth. That's awesome.
Well, you sound really good, and there's a reason you sound good.
Thank you.
I mean,
I can't believe some of the crap I've done. I have done a lot of stuff. Thank you so much for having me on, by the way, in spite of the fact that you may, like, be fried any moment from the storm. I'm sending you good vibes here.
Well, the good news is that my hair can't stand on end, so I'm safe, so I think I'll be all right. Okay, Susie, I gotta look at it again. What is the Wicked Awesome Fortune Telly Show? What the heck
is
that?
Oh, my God. It's a show that you will have to be on next time you're in Nashville and when I'm doing it. So here's what it is. I wanted to do, because I love to talk, you know this, I was trying to think of a way that I could spotlight, you know, friends and in the business and, you know, people who are, like, legit in this business, because Nashville is getting bigger and bigger. And we're getting, you know, there's just a lot of people popping up everywhere and nobody really knows who to go to that is reputable, you know. And so I kind of decided, well, that here I can blend two things that I'm really passionate about is, you know, sharing good readers and, you know, and getting exposure for them and talking. And so I came up with this idea to do this talk show, and I happen to have this little theater that I work with. It's in Centennial Park. It's called the Centennial Black Box Theater, and it's a little 50-seat theater that is just perfect for doing anything I want to do. I love it. And so that's what I've been doing is you know, I've been trying to do it. I do it about once a month, or, you know, it's pretty random still when I do it, but and I kind of mix it with, you know, if I don't have time to put together a show, I'll go and just use the theater and do a mediumship gallery there, you know, group reading kind of thing. So I bounce around back and forth with what I do there. But I do something there every month. And the Wicked Awesome Fortune Telly Show, literally I've had guests on. And we just, it's a talk show. I have two guests and a musical guest every episode. It's a live audience talk show about the metaphysical world, and it's pretty kick-ass.
I mean that is awesome, and the beauty of it is I feel confident you'll be able to find a musician, so that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, there's been no shortage of musicians here.
No shortage of musicians. Talent, super talent. I mean, it's going to be fun to see Hillbilly Hollywood, how Nashville actually, when it gets done doing whatever it's going to do, what it actually looks like. You know, it's already shifted since I was there, and that's only been 2 years ago. You know, it's fascinating too. When I think back, you know, the times that I've seen you in action, the beauty about your energy, everybody has a kind of a vibe, right? Is that you have this incredible, like, come in, have chicken soup, I'm going to make it okay kind of vibe. and I think that that's incredibly important, you know.
Wow.
I mean, that's, don't you think, I mean, there's a kind of a softness to your energy, I think, is really important.
Yeah, that's so funny you say that, because, you know, I feel like, and I don't know, I mean, I'm a Yankee in the South, so there is definitely an abrasiveness, I guess, or a forwardness about me that, you know, is kind of, I don't know, it might be intimidating to people here, but that's, you know, I like to hear, I'm flattered that you see that side of me, because that's really, I mean, I don't do this, I do this because I give a shit. Oh, can we swear on the show?
We
I do this
say,
because
well,
I care.
Fuck you want.
Okay. No,
yeah,
I do this because I give
anything.
A shit. And, you know, and I care about helping people. I mean, and that's, you know, I know everybody
it's
says
obvious.
That, but yeah. And so, you know, my methods may be a little bit different, and certainly my mannerisms, you know, in the South can be mistaken for, you know, being a little abrupt or whatever, but I really appreciate that you see that side of me, and that's what most people, I mean, that's, you know, the clients I have are the clients I have for that reason, you know, and so thank you for that. I mean, I appreciate that, and that's what I want to create. Like, I'm, you know, I mean, I want to keep it real, but you know, I don't sugarcoat stuff when it doesn't need to be sugarcoated, you know. I'm definitely not one of those fluffy people, you know.
Yeah, but there's
in.
Still an energy to
and,
you.
You know,
I mean, I see it. I mean, when
yeah.
I've watched you, you know, the way you interact with people, there's a, you know, there's a kind of a demeanor that people have, you know, kind of an aura that they have, right? And when I've seen you, because I've seen you in person a lot, you
mm-hmm.
know, and doing it just jumps off to me. I mean, that is one of the things that I think is one of the key things to your appeal. And the people that I've talked to, I mean, I'm lucky with you in that I have a lot of common friends who have gone to you. And
mm-hmm.
so they have said, you know, to me, truthfully, they've said incredible things about you. And
I really
one
appreciate
of those things
that.
Really, and one of those things is not only your talent as a psychic or doing Reiki too, but their relationship with you. I mean, most of, I think this career is about relationship building, you know? So,
yeah.
So that's a key piece to it.
Well, you know, and that's the thing too, you know, I wouldn't have survived. I mean, there are, you know, people out there that they might be able to read a card, you know, or read a chart or whatever, but they lack that compassion, I guess, or that, you know, I mean, I'm trying, I don't want to sound like all self-serving, but it really means a lot to me that you appreciate that, because sometimes I get a bad rap for being a little too abrupt, and it's just my Yankee way, sorry, you know, Patriots fan, I'm from Boston, and that ain't going away, people, but, you know, because I don't speak in flowery terms, and, you know, and kumbaya all the time with you does not mean that doesn't mean I don't care. And that really is, you know, there's so much that I've been through in my own life that how could I not care, you know, about people, because I know what it's like to go through the shit. And so when you're sitting across from me, if you're going through it, I'm going to share that, you know, and let you know you're not alone. So.
And Susie, don't you think that in a lot of respects, the fact that people go through these things, like you and I and a lot of the people that we know that are in this profession, we go through challenges, we go through emotional upheavals, in some sense because we'll have an empathy for people later on. I think that those things are really, super important in terms of the way in which you relate to your clients. And again,
yeah.
to me, as I've watched you, I've felt that about you, and I've seen you a lot, you know, in years. I mean, I've
mm-hmm.
always had that about you.
Yeah, well, you know, you light me up, too. I mean, I love being around you. You're, like, amazing, and, you know.
Thank you.
I guess it takes one to know one, right? It's like all this right back at you. Yeah, it was funny, you know, because I remember when I first met you, I'd watched a lot of your posts on Facebook first, and I was like, oh, this guy is abrasive. What's going on here? What's he stirring up over here? Well, what's he? Well, you know, but he's right about that, you know. And so I didn't know what to expect when I first met you, and I remember looking at you and going, you're not the jerk I thought you might be.
Yeah, well, you know, I kind of joke about that. And you know, it's like people will meet me and go, oh, you're just so cute. You're just so sweet. You're just like,
you are.
You're so nice. We thought you would be the most obnoxious, you know, conceited, you know, thing ever. But really, in person, you're actually very pleasant, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of that, of course, is, you know, by design. The things I do are, you know, sort of button pushers. And some people don't like buttons pushed. But in one-on-one, there's no button pushing, right? In one-on-one, it really is kind of a love thing. But when I'm talking about ideas, then I'm not afraid to, like, rock some boats. It's a totally
mm-hmm.
different thing.
Yeah, and that's what it is, and that's, you know, and like what you were talking about before, you know, the things that we've been through. I really feel like I have always felt that my life made sense when I was working with astrology. Like everything that I've been through, like it just made sense to me. All of the stuff that I've been through, whenever I needed. I guess I can't even think of words now. Why am I not thinking of words? Whenever I needed some support or some, you know, a way to understand what was happening to me or, you know, what was happening around me or why I was going through certain things, you know, astrology, I mean, I've been into it since the 70s, and it's always been my answer. So, you know, why would I not want to share that with everybody else, you know, and show them? It's like, you know, sometimes it's just validation, like, hey, you're going through this thing, but it's going to end over here, you know, or it's likely to end, and this is what you got to get while you're in it, because then you're going to get through it faster, you know, and just being able to offer that to people is so powerful, you know, because I know because it helped me. You know, my life, the only times my life really ever made sense were two times, when I was singing and when I was working with metaphysics, doing the cards or astrology or whatever. So
yeah, and I've been doing astrology since I was a teenager too, so, you know,
mm-hmm.
back in the 70s. And I would even, when I was young, I would always try to find girls' birthdays. Like, you go look in the ephemeris and try to see, you know, if they match me. And I've been doing that for, gosh, 40 years.
Yep. Just about a
point, yeah. So, Susie, when you're working with people, what is that process typically like for you?
Well, like, literally, you mean, like, how would I conduct the reading kind of thing?
Well, more like, what is the process internally like for you? You know, I mean, some people have different styles about how they relate to people. They also have different ways that they experience that, you know, how they get information. You know, I guess my question is, the process for you, what is it like in terms of how you relate to the people as well as how you pick up things about them?
Okay. Well, you know,
is that a fair question?
So for me, that I think that's a reason why I, you know, why I like a lot of tools, a lot of things, because what happens is as soon as I'm engaging with a client, I'm getting messages from, like, everywhere. And, you know, I'm extremely impatient, so I like to be able to figure out where they're coming from very quickly. So that's why, you know, typically, like, you know, mechanically, I will always start with the chart. That's where I begin. And that kind of gets my focus in a different direction, kind of gets me out of my head. And that will typically start the flow, even if we don't have somebody's birth time, even if I don't have that. You know, I can just kind of get a feel for, you know, who they are and, you know, look at their Mercury and see, okay, how am I relating to this person? You know, what's going to be the best way to relate to them? And so I actually kind of start it more from a left brain kind of point of view, and then I'm immediately in the right brain, which is, you know, okay, so what does this person need, you know? The process has changed so much over the years because I will bounce back and forth between astrology and tarot and mediumship in one reading. And it's like, sometimes it's just, I was going to say it's sometimes it's like madness, but it's really not, because I'm so in that moment. And it's a really comfortable place to be. So people, I'm getting information, whatever that person needs. I don't go into any reading with any preconceived notion about what's going to happen here. You know, a lot of times people will send me their birth information ahead of time, and it's like I won't even look at their chart until they're sitting in front of me, unless I'm doing something like a really deep, you know, those deep dive charts, you know, where you're in, it's like personality analysis. You know, I'll spend three to five hours on one of those, and, you know, before I see the person. But generally, if you just come to me for a reading, it's very, very organic. I really don't have any set way of doing things. It's just all intuitive.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same way. I don't like, absolutely, I'm comparable to that, and I don't like to have too much information. I will look at the chart. Like, I do it primarily, I guess, as a clairvoyant, but I want to look at the chart partly because I want to see how they match me, because it kind of gives me a sense of what the conversation's likely to be like, and, it, you know, certain things jump out to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to know in advance too much. I mean, people ask me, people like email me questions. I don't want to know that. I want to just be like right at the time.
Yeah. 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 And that's what, you know, and people will come back, like, you know, sometimes like, oh, remember we had this great meeting. You told me this thing. And it's like, and I'm just like blank. Like, I'm sorry. What it's channeled information to me. It's in and out. So I'm present and I'm here with you and I care and I'm listening. Yes, I am 1,000% present in that moment. And but once that information is passed on, it's like I can't go back. And you know, I kind of have this rule of thumb. It's like if I remember a reading, I was not present enough. And that's my bad. You know, I was not in the moment enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. I mean, absolutely. It totally makes sense. And it resonates with a lot of, you know, the people that I know. And, you know, me too would say similar things. I want to kind of shift gears a little bit. I want to talk about the work you did with spiritualism. I mean, if you've been to Arthur Findlay and Lily Dale and Casadega, what was that like for you? What was it like to go there?
Well, Lilydale is pretty cool. Casadega, it's a nice little place tucked away in Florida. The thing that kind of got me was Casadega, and we weren't there very long, but they have this lovely little community with these little tiny Floridian houses, you know, where the mediums live, and you just walk in and sit down, and they start talking to you. And it's an amazing experience. But Casadega is very closely surrounded, the actual spiritualist community, by all of these homes that, like, are really weird energy. Like, a lot of these, like, very interesting psychic readers all around the camp. And so, and they're very specific about, you know, the people across the street from us, we have nothing to do with them. If you want a you know, registered medium, because Lilydale and Casadega are spiritualist communities, so they have registered mediums who have actually been trained and authorized by those areas. If you want them, here's the list of them. And so, so Lilydale's a little different because it's so the entire town. It's like a little tiny town, and everywhere you go, there are registered mediums. It is all about spiritualism, and you're immersed in the camp, and it's in that environment, and it's stunningly beautiful. And and the training at both, you know, Casadega was great. I mean, I actually made my husband take a class with me, a mediumship class, and he was giving messages. He's so good. He was scared to death, but you know, the class I took there was phenomenal. A woman from Boston was teaching a class there, and it was just brilliant. And then and Lilydale, I got to take last year. I went up there with my friend Tish Owen, and we studied with Colin Bates, who was one of my tutors from Arthur Findlay. So Lilydale and Casadega are a certain way, and then I have not yet been to Camp Chesterfield, which eventually I will go there, and that's another spiritualist community. But Arthur Findlay is mind-blowing. You have got to go there someday. Oh my God, it looks like Hogwarts. It's a big, huge.
Yeah, I was
going to
say it's like a Harry Potter kind of thing. Right?
Oh, you're living and you are immersed in your studies from the time you get up to the time you go to bed at night, and it's just incredible. And I can't. my mind has been so blown, expanded, opened. I have undone and redone everything that I knew about my entire life by going to this school. And I literally just went there to learn mediumship, and I ended up having the most life-changing experiences both times. I've been over there twice. And I want to go back again. I was just kind of laying low until we saw where things were going, like see if it was safe to leave the country kind of thing. But, yeah, it's – I mean, if you want to be serious about what you're doing – and I'm, like, super into training, okay? Certificates and you know, things like that, they're important to a point, but, you know, was the quality of the training worth it? You know, that's my thing. It's like, so going over there, they don't give you a certificate, but your training will blow your mind. You will become amazing. And, you know, if you keep going and you keep doing this and practicing. So it's wonderful because you're in a place with, I'm sorry, I'm like so hesitant tonight. I don't know, I've been talking too much all day. I think I used all my words up. I've been on the phone doing meetings all day. The school itself, like you eat there, you sleep there, and you work there all the time. And they have like church services there a couple of times a week. And, you know, and depending on the classes that you, the week that you go, you know, there's different experiences that you'll have. But you're basically working, you know, 12 hours a day kind of. And you're in an environment where people from all over the world are there. And you're eating lunch with people from Russia, from China, from Australia, from the Netherlands, from everywhere, and everybody is happy, and they love each other, and it is amazing.
I mean, it's beautiful.
It's the way the world should be.
I mean, it really is. I mean, I was really lucky when I was young that I was friends with Sanaya Roman, and I met Sanaya Roman at a birthday party. And I went to this past life regression class, and that really set off a lot of things. And I met this woman, Adela Pickering, and she invited me to a birthday party. Then I met Sanaya Roman, so I trained with Sanaya Roman. And Sanaya taught me a lot of things that I've used, gosh, for 4 years. And so I think it's important, you know, especially when you're young, to have that kind of mentoring. I mean, so much of it is like everything's just like, wow, how does that work? And then to see other people do it and to have a chance to practice it and get used to it and get into that flow is really critical, I think, to people's development. You do a lot of training yourself. I mean, you teach a lot of classes. When you look at young, like, psychics to be, what is that process? Because I've done a lot of these things, too. But what is that process like for you on the teaching side?
Oh, my God. It's incredible. It's frustrating, and it's incredible at the same time because, you know, I teach all the stuff that I do because I have years and years and years of experience and training and, you know, lot of hours and things that I can share, tips and tricks and things I can share with people. So that's what I want to do. And the reason I want to do it is because I didn't have people to do this. Like, this wasn't a $1.2 billion industry when you and I were coming up. We had to find the books. We had to seek out the people in those back rooms and those little stores, you know, that didn't really exist, you know. And, I mean, it was so underground, you know. And now there's a wonderful world of great teachers out there, but there's also a wonderful world of you know, people out there that need teaching and they're not getting to those teachers. And so, you know, so I kind of look at myself as just another one, and I like the opportunity to be able to show people like the right way to do these things and the way to ground and protect themselves and the way to understand that, no, you're not crazy. This is actually an experience, but you don't have to live your entire life 24/7 open to all of this. You know, and there's nothing to be afraid of. And, yeah, let's work on this. This is your strong Claire. You know, this is your strong suit. Or this is, you know, yeah, tarot's for you. Tarot's not for you, you know. And so it's, you know, it's an amazing experience to watch people get it. I mean, I'll tell you, for all the students that I've had over these last, 10 years or so, there are very few that actually really get it. Most of them either just move on. It's a hobby. They're passionate about it for a while. But there are very, very few that have actually gone on to do something with it. And some that kind of, went on and they shouldn't be doing something with it, but they are. But I guess that's their path, So it's, it's amazing when I see somebody really latch onto this stuff and run with it, in a structured way. Because when I really, by the time I found mentors and teachers, there was so much I had to unlearn. It wasn't that I was necessarily doing things wrong. It was just I had developed kind of my own way of doing things and my own practices and, especially with astrology, and so I had to kind of reframe a lot of stuff, and that was almost harder because I'd been doing it for so long and I was, successful enough at it, but if I wanted to go to another level, I had to really amp it up, With the mediumship, that was so new to me, although I didn't know that I had been doing mediumship my whole life. I really didn't. I thought there was just this thing I did with talking to ghosts, I had no idea. And so getting trained by that, I hadn't already developed a lot of bad habits, And so that kind of flowed a lot easier for me. But that's the value of training. It's like, you got to listen to the teachers. You got to listen to the people that have come before you. People today, I don't know, and I don't want to say everybody, but I think a lot of people just take it for granted that they can go down to the corner store and sit in a class with somebody who half-assed knows something and think they've gotten this great, wisdom and knowledge, as opposed to sitting with somebody who really knows what they're doing. And I don't know if that's bad or good anymore. I really don't. It's been such a crazy world out there, as far as all this goes. But for me, I know the value of a good teacher. And when mediumship started really opening up in me or coming to me, I don't even know what you want to call it, when it was, when dead people were pretty much following me around on a regular basis, showing up in readings, the first thing I sought out was a teacher and then a mentor. And I went for that because I understand the value of that, And I think having so many out there, I don't think people get how important it is to find someone who really knows their stuff and connect with them if you really want to do this. And I think, again, too, part of it is a lot of people are just kind of caught up in the wave. Oh, it's new age. Oh, I want to be a medium. Oh, I want to be a psychic. It looks so easy. And they, and eventually they just kind of, they're really not that interested after a while. So I guess it kind of cycles around, but for me, study, you got to learn, you got to practice, you got to put the time into this stuff, you may not have to do it for 30 years before you can, hang a shingle out and call yourself a psychic, and start charging people, but you got to put some time into it, There's too many people shortcutting into this business now, and it's just kind of weird.
Yeah, I was kind of a psychic prodigy when I started, but I spent 8 years literally meditating, 4, 5, 6 hours a day, for almost, 4 or 5 days a week. I did that for 8 years before I ever did a single, public reading.
There you go.
And I had no intention of ever doing it professionally. I got talked into it. And then I did it, and people started asking me to do things, and that's kind of how it happened. But it wasn't my intention to do it as a career, and I never really wanted to do it as a career. But I was really curious about what was going on within me, right? So I was trying to understand myself, I'm having these really strange experiences. Help me understand these experiences. And in trying to understand the experiences, this psychic thing was sort of one of the things that came out the other end of it. I mean, that's how it was for me. And it's probably that way for a lot of people. I mean, I think a lot of people, I always joke, Shaman College, you don't apply, they recruit. They come and get you. And
exactly.
You can send, I don't want to go. Oh, no, please, you got a scholarship. I don't want to go to there. Come on. I mean, I think that's how it works. So people think they don't understand the kind of the nuts and bolts of it. I mean, that's its own hot mess. I mean, we could talk about that too. But before we go another step, if I want to track you down and I want a reading or I want to know more about you, what's the best way for me or someone else to do that?
Just go to astrogirl12.com, and like everything is out there. You can book an appointment right online. I've got a scheduler out there that you can do that. You can pick what readings or energy work or whatever it is that you want done. It's all on my website. And if you want any information about me, my whole bio's out there and all the media, everything I've done. I mean, this website is so robust. I just, we launched a whole new design website last year. And, I mean, there isn't anything that isn't on it. I've got a page where I do weekly horoscopes, so just for that. And there's just about everything. So, actually, I didn't put them up this week. Oops, my bad. But there will be up-to-date horoscopes
astrology.
Soon.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about astrology for a second, because there's a lot going on in the world, and there's some kind of funky transits going on. Is there anything when you look at astrology, kind of on a holistic level, that jumps out to you that you think is an important indicator of certain trends that are happening now?
Oh, God, yeah. And this is always my go-to, like whatever it is that's going on, it's like, oh, there's an astrological reason, I can find it. but the big thing that's happening now is Saturn having gone into Capricorn on its way to meet up with Pluto. I mean, that is massive. And then, we're going to have the Uranian move, Uranus move into Taurus in May. But Saturn right now in Capricorn, I just literally taught an entire class on that last night. And to me, this is where the rubber meets the road for everybody. We're really getting down to, like, I call the class, it's your make it work moment. So, where do you need to be deliberate in your life? Where have you been holding yourself back? Where have you been listening to those little voices telling you you're not good enough, you're not good enough, you're not good enough? This is your time to overcome that, because Saturn and Capricorn is about getting down. It's about business, but it's also about getting down to business in your life. So we can be so much more deliberate. And for, all the millions of people out there who do, vision boards and manifesting and all of that kind of stuff, this is such a powerful time to be able to really amp up your intentions, set intentions with a lot of strength behind them and a lot of longevity too. I love this energy. I think this is great that Saturn's come home. And I know he does every 30 years, he comes home. But the fact that he's so close to Pluto now and going to be, heading right up to meet up with him in 2020 is just, it's kind of like that double whammy. So, I don't know, what's your favorite
agree with that. I mean, right now, my north node is 3 degrees Capricorn. So Saturn is parked right on my north node as we speak. And
wow.
The transiting nodes, my natal moon is 13 Leo. So the moon nodes are transiting on my natal moon, and Saturn is transiting on my natal, north node. So, yeah, fun times. I did a thing a long time ago.
Awesome.
When I saw Saturn was getting ready to cross the IC and conjunct my Pluto, and I said to myself, normally – this would kind of suck, I bet, and that's exactly what happened. So I had, but I could also see trends, and just what you were saying earlier, and I want to get back to this, and I want your take on it. With astrology, you can see kind of when the light bulb is going to come back on again. Even when people are in periods where they feel kind of like they're in a dark space, astrology is a pretty good roadmap as to when the light bulb is going to turn back on again. True?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So when you look at someone and you see that, I mean, that's one of the beauties of being able to go to you, I think, is that with this grounding in astrology, you can kind of map out, okay, these are the things influencing where you're at now, but this is what you have to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
True?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, because these planets don't take stuff away from us or you know, bring this energy of release to us just for the hell of it. You know, it's all about uncovering our best self, you know, and that's what this is. You know, that was what I left the class with last night, was just a statement of, like, what you have to understand is, even though some of this might be a little rough, you know, first of all, it doesn't have to be, and second of all, what it's doing is it's bringing you closer to who you really are, and that's the blessing. You know, I've got it right now. It's literally in my first house, sitting on my natal Jupiter, and then it's going to conjunct my, I'm going to have my second Saturn return when it hits 13 degrees. So right on the cusp of my second house. So yeah, it's, you know, me and Saturn are friends. Me and Pluto got to be friends after 16 years of him going through my first house. We got to be real BFFs, and I kind of miss him in that first house, actually, but I like him in my second right now. That's working for me. So, and the other thing is, you know, with this grand trine and Earth that we're going to have when everybody gets situated here, it's like, woo, you know, that's going to feel, I just feel like it's going to feel so much better, you know, for everybody. So,
well, that's really encouraging. I mean, that's fantastic. So explain to people what you mean by that, a grand trine in Earth.
Well, we're going to have,
tell people that don't know what that is, what planets are involved in that and where they're parked.
Yeah, we're going to have, well, we'll have Saturn and Pluto in Capricorn. We're going to have Uranus in Taurus, and then where's the other one? Grand trine in Earth.
You got something in Virgo.
Something in Virgo. What's coming up in Virgo? Oh, that's in September. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. This September, but just having the trine between Uranus and Pluto and Saturn, after Uranus and Pluto spent, you know, that 7 years fighting and, you know, and causing all of this frustration for us, is going to be like, that in itself is going to be such a gift, you know, to have the end of all of that fiery energy.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, you're suggesting that things are going to be looking up as we see these transits, as we see the planets floating around the universe. Am I hearing you correctly?
I feel that they are, and let me tell you why. Because
I agree with that.
Yeah. Just the change from Uranus, because, okay, so here's what happens. So Uranus goes into Aries 7 years ago. We have the Fukushima explosion, and, of course, the Neptune and Pisces transit that happened then was, you know, that was, there's your tsunami. So that was a big cosmic soup right there. But just Uranus alone in Aries is the reason I believe that we have been fighting so much for the last 7 years, you know. And so now what happens, so, you know, this is because you've got, you know, this great awakener, this rebellious, like, independent, you know, me, you know, in the sign of me, which is Aries, and I'm first and I'm right, you know, that kind of energy. And now it's going to move into Taurus. Now, Taurus behaves a little bit differently. Taurus is stubborn and rooted, and again, it's, you know, grounded and all that. But here's the thing about it. Taurus would rather just look at you and go, you know what, I'm right, screw you, I'm over here, rather than go head-to-head in a sword fight with everybody that comes in contact with. So once the initial shock and awe of this Uranus changeover happens, I think, you know, and then having the other two Mac daddies there, you know, Pluto and Saturn in Capricorn, I think with all that grounded energy, it's going to be like, all right, let's just, you mind your business, let's fix this shit and get it done. You know, it's like a different energy coming in. And so I'm excited about it.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Yeah, I think things will get better too. I mean, right now they're a little tense, but I think that they'll definitely, you know, swing towards a happier, more unicorny kind of space. Is there anything you have going on that you want to talk about? You have any events or anything coming up?
Oh Lord, yes, I do. We could be here all day.
No, that's beautiful that we can.
This week
I've
got.
That's a credit to you.
I kind of overextended myself because, you know, people were like, at the beginning of the year, it's always like, hey, when are you going to do astrology cards? When are you going to do tarot cards? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? And there were certain things that I've been doing ongoing over the years that I take a break from, you know, December and January, and so I'm firing it all up. So what I've got right now is I've got two tarot classes, online tarot classes. You can take them from anywhere. They're going to be running on Wednesdays, one at 9 in the morning and one at 7 at night. And just pick one. They're 3 weeks long. It's like an intro to tarot class. And that's online. And then I've got, if you're in Nashville, I've got Mediumship Circle. I started doing this when I came back from, excuse me, when I came back from England. The spiritual churches have this wonderful thing. They call them mediumship circles. And everybody kind of just joins together, and usually there's a lot of professional mediums that go to these things, and everybody just kind of lifts each other up. They practice mediumship, practice working with their intuition. Everybody's at different levels, but everybody learns, you know. And so I've been hosting these circles for almost 2 years now, maybe. And we do them once a month. So I've got that coming up, and it's a great place to come if you're like having, you know, stuff happen and you don't know what's going on, and even if you're working somewhat mediumistically and you want to really hone that in. I mean, you know, the training I got is the training you're going to get. So I do that, and then I've got, there's a bunch of other stuff coming up. Friday night I'm going to be at Aroma Gregory, which is a little store here. And they do walk-in reading nights, and I'm going to be the guest reader Friday night. And the Wicked Awesome Fortune Telling Show, I have to get a date for that, but the next one will be probably in, I think it's going to be in February. And you'll have to go on that, Andrew. You've got to come and just be my guest on that show one night.
Well, that would be fun. I would love to come back. I haven't been to Nashville. Gosh, it'll be a year. My birthday is first week of February, so I was there for my birthday last year, but I haven't been back since.
Wow. Has it been that long since I don't think I saw you last time you were here, now that I think about it. I don't know if I ever did get to see you. So, we'll have to talk about making that happen. But all of my events and everything, I have an events page and a classes page and everything, again, on the super website, so astrogirl12.com, and you can find all that stuff there.
I mean, do you have any plans for writing? Do you have any kind of books or anything in the back burner?
No. Yes and no.
Have you thought about that?
All the time. And
if you had someone that told you he thought you would do that, how would you respond to that?
I feel like it would take a case of dynamite under my ass to get me to write a book. I have about 5 books in my head that are brilliant. I've started 3 of them. And I mean by started, I mean I've typed one paragraph or one line. Literally, that's it. I don't know what it is that keeps me from writing, but yet I write horoscope columns every week. I love to write these fluffy things, you know, these, things that the sign, you know, who's best in bed of all the 12 signs, and who would make great parents out of all the signs, and I do a lot of those columns and stuff. So I love the process of writing, but the concept, the process, the idea of a book is so hard. And I also have an oracle deck that I did it was a year ago in May, that I created a prototype for, and it was so successful. It was just awesome. People loved it. It's like a retro deck, and I still have the prototype.
Yeah, well, I have 3 of those, so I feel your pain. But because you know it's different. The print on demand for that's different. However, I'm going to persist in my folly here. I believe you should write a book, and I believe that you're going to write a book, and I believe you're going to write a book about astrology. And I think it's going to be really good for you. So, you know, I know you're not asking me for this, but I'm just throwing it out here. And because I say it doesn't make it true, but I'm not saying it just because I'm bored. I really think that that's the next thing for you, is that there is this, I believe it's about astrology. And I think you're going to write a book, a really interesting book, about astrology. You know, a lot of my books are just stitched together, you know, blogs that, you know, I find a way that they thematically fit and, you know, cut and paste them and make them a PDF and there's a book. But I think you have material that you can stitch together for a lot of this. But I think you should really consider it. I think it would be easier for you than you think it'll be. I mean, just because I say it doesn't make it true, but I really do believe that it's sort of part of your future.
Well, maybe this Saturn transit will help. And, you know, I'll tell you, let's see, Uranus is coming out eventually, actually in May. Uranus is actually coming out of my fourth house, thank you, and into my
creativity.
Fifth house. Yes. And literally, the cusp of my fifth house is one Taurus. So between Saturn working in that first house and Uranus working that fifth for me, yeah, that it may happen. Of course, I've still got Neptune in my third, but it's actually, it's on my south node right now. Hello. So I'd rather learn than write. I'd rather spend my life in school than actually producing things, but I know that is my thing to do. And I would agree with you, and actually that was the book idea that I've actually had the longest is about astrology. It's astrologically related. And it's you know, it's part biography and part astrology.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you'll have a book that's about astrology, and I think it's in some sense like, you know, tiptoeing through the garden of astrology, how you found astrology. You know, I mean, so if you look at it, that there's a theme. It's like you're walking through the astrology garden, kind of. I mean, that's sort of the energy to it. I just feel like there's a book that's not too far off of you.
I hope you're right, and I will accept
make it
that.
True, but I think it will be good for you. I think you have a lot, and I realize you're not asking for this, but it's just like, you know, I really do feel like a book is part of your next level. And I think, you know, the fact that you have all this media already, I mean, you have an incredibly impressive resume in terms of media. I mean, doing all these columns is amazing, you know. I mean, you're in big places, you know. So, I mean, that's a lot of exposure. And it's just one little step from a column to a connected series of things go together, and you call it a book, you know, it has a theme. So,
you know, that may be why I've spent, you know, this last year and a half or 2 years, whatever it's been, writing all of these columns and writing, you know, in this way, because, you know, as the more I write, the more I become frustrated with what I'm writing, and it's not good enough, and I need to push it to the next level and the next level. And, you know, literally I've completely restyled, or I'm in the process of, I guess you could say, restyling the way I write my columns. You know, they've always just been very matter of fact, you know, and it's like, you know, astrology is so much more than the keywords, you know. I mean, we have to keep things simple when we're writing columns, but, you know, there are plenty of people out there. Like, you know, one of the things that kind of drives me crazy is I don't like columns, astrology columns that are, you know, three paragraphs long for each sign, you know. It's like, no one needs, by the time you get done reading all the information about what transit is happening today, it's over, you know. And it's like, so there's got to be a way to be more concise without being kind of like the way I've been writing, which is just kind of very matter of fact, you know. I don't embellish a lot. And so yeah, was it the last, I think it was the last one I wrote, or the one before, I actually was playing with the styling of how I was writing, and I kind of dug it. And so that, you know, and I could see, I agree with you, and thank you for giving me that. I mean, I really appreciate that. I've been told that a lot. There's a book in here somewhere, and it's like, okay,
well,
let's birth it, you know.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good.
And,
I mean, I think you should really allow it, if it's there, allow it to find its natural space to be released. Because, the reason I keep bringing this up is, you know, as I think about it, you know, talking about it, to me it seems like the next progression for you? I mean, you seem very much like you're on a step ladder. Everything gets higher and higher and higher. And I think that that's magical for you. But I think that you're on the verge of having, I mean, you're getting a lot of exposure. This would allow you to get more exposure because I think your gypsy wagon needs to be, people need to have that experience, you know? And I think that it's all connected, you know? That's my opinion.
No, I totally agree. And, you know, I think maybe this restyling of my column writing was a big step, and that may be just the step I needed before I go right into writing a book. I mean, I have so many friends that have written books, and you know, what's your favorite book that you've written?
I mean, I've written three that I like. One was a book on politics, which was just me being a troublemaker, which is something I'm naturally qualified for. One, I wrote a book called A Metaphoric Mirror, which was about transformation. And I liked that book. It had a kind of a, you know, happy kind of vibe to it. It was actually probably the only book I actually sat down and really, I just wrote a book, right? And then a lot of them are, like I say, they're things I wrote and stitched them together and say, oh, there's a book, and here we go.
Gotcha.
And then I did a book called Cases with Anomalous States about Past Lives, and I guess you could say I channeled this book. And even me, and you know me, I write some outlandish stuff. And I read this book and go, oh, my God, I can't say this. I can't say this out loud. Even I can't say this. So I parked it for 3.5 years. I had this book done for 3.5 years, and I finally just go, oh, well,
oh,
why not?
Gosh.
And so I think, you know, reincarnation is sort of my thing now. But
yeah.
So
yeah.
That's a long-winded answer is each of those, you know, and these are all things I did myself. You know, I've never, you know, I don't have like a Hay House, any of that stuff. I don't have, these are all just things I did myself. But for Cases with Anomalous States, I think it's kind of a unique book. That's the last one. That was a few years ago on reincarnation. Because it looks at, you know, concurrent, how, like I think that lifetimes, that there could be another Susie, you know, going on right now. And so what are the ways in which that could happen. So that's that. But for you, I bet you do something that's very grounded in astrology, but it also has a Gypsy Wagon Susie kind of energy to it as well. That's what I think will happen.
Yeah. Well, very well could. Well, if it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen soon. Because, you know, I have an empty fifth house, and that means that, like, when it really comes to, like, I do a lot of creative stuff, but I kind of scatter it. I throw it around. I don't have a lot of support in that house, you know, so having Uranus transit that may really help a lot.
Uranus natally. Where is it natally?
Eighth house. Eighth in Leo.
In what? In Leo. In Leo. Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, am I supposed to be out there talking about
natural,
what?
The fifth house is where it wants to be, Susie. The fifth house is where it wants to be. It's in Leo. It wants to be in the fifth house. The fifth house, it'll be totally at home. And
yes.
A fifth, eighth house, you know, talking about occult things and astrology and death, well, that's just totally what it should be. So the energy from the eighth is going to be expressed in the fifth. That makes sense.
Yes. Yep. So, yeah. Yeah, I get some interesting things in my chart. Well, everybody does, but yeah, I've got that Sun Neptune conjunction in the 11th too. That's there's my distractions in Scorpio.
So
I'd rather go play with my
Scorpio
friends. Where's
then?
My tribe? I have to find my tribe. You know, Allie, I had a reading from her, and I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad that I did that because I got to, it was supposed to be a little 15-minute reading and it turned into almost a 2-hour conversation. And
well,
she was
Allie.
Such a love. Yep. And, but she cracked me up because one of the first things she said to me, she said, do you realize, you cycle through friends, you cycle through groups of friends. I was like, I do. And like, I totally didn't even get that I do that. And she goes, yeah. And you're about to cycle through another group soon. And I mean, it was just such a profound, like, an interesting thing to say, you know. But she was so right. My entire life, I've always done that, cycled through groups of friends. It's like, it's amazing. But, you know, then eventually I keep them all on Facebook because, you know, that's
a learning experience for you. I mean, that's a way to express your creativity. I mean, you're absorbing. You're sponging. You know, and what I mean that as a compliment is that you're absorbing that energy, you're absorbing that information. And, you know, at some point, you know, now that, you know, I mean, the fifth, eighth, you know, kind of mixture here probably is true, again, you know, because it's a, you know, you've got Uranus and Leo in the eighth. So, like I say, it's naturally feels comfy in the fifth house because of Leo. So it wouldn't surprise me that this is actually a really expressive period for you.
Yeah. Well, it would be good to get that done because it's been on my list of things to do forever, you know. And I would like to. I mean, I really would like to. I love the process of writing. I do. But I think, you know, honestly, if I'm going to be honest, I think the thing that kind of, I don't know, if it scares me or unnerves me in a way, considering how much I do, how much otherworldly stuff I do, how out of my body or mind I am so much of, you know, the time when I'm with clients or whatever and speaking to dead people and all that, when I write, it's like, it's one of those things, is like music, you know, kind of used to be, is not so much anymore for me. But I lose sense of all time and space. And it's, you know, I'm like super connected. But, and it's almost like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like there's this other level of soul bearing that is going on there, you know. When I and stepping out of my way and channeling for a client, it's about them. You know, the focus is not me. And that's very easy. When the focus is on me and the words coming out of me, it's a little bit, it intimidates me, I guess, or frightens me or something. There's something there that I need to stop myself, you know.
And so I want to throw something back at you that you said earlier, because I think it's, in a way, kind of a fitting way to end this conversation, because we're going to be done here in like 3 or 4 minutes. But
you said
earlier that it goes fast, man. That's good. I mean, you said earlier that when you do a reading, if you remember what you said, that you weren't fully invested in it in the same way. So think about that when it comes to writing.
Yeah.
Just think about that.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and that, there was something I was going to say to you, the book that you channeled, that was the thing I was going to bring up for you. It's like when that's the book that is really from you, that is your heart and soul, and that's the one that people will relate to probably the most. You know, you parked it, that's the one you parked, I guess, for 3 years. And it's like, you know, it's so funny when we get real and we get raw and we get, you know, to really what we think and what we feel. It's like Alanis Morissette, when she was writing You Ought to Know, she looked at her producer and she's like, this is too harsh. People won't like it. He said, is it what you feel? And she said, yeah. And he said, then that's what we're going to write. That's what we're going to record. And it turned out to be like her biggest hit ever. You know, and it was just an angry song, but it was what she truly felt. She wasn't trying to sugarcoat it or make it look any different or, you know, unicorn it up at all, you know, and that's where the magic is. You got to love it, you know. You got that.
I agree with that. Well, so do you. So, one more time before we head out, if I want to connect with you, know more about you, make a contact, have a reading, how do I do that?
At astrogirl12.com. Go to the big website with the big picture
awesome.
Of me in our car in our 64 Tempest.
Oh, my God, that's fantastic. I'm so happy we get to hang again, and when I'm in Nashville, we will hang out. You know, Simone's in California now, so I don't have, unless I can, you know, talk Shannon or somebody, you know, don't have, like, a house anymore. But I'll be down. It'll be fun. Any final thing you want to say before we head out?
Just thank you so much for this. I love this, and I love just hanging out with you like this. And
thank you.
You're great. You're just amazing. And so I just appreciate everything that you do. And thank you for letting me share this tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. So, Susie Wright, we will see you later. Everybody have a happy evening. Thank God I didn't get electrocuted or the power go out, so that's always
a
blessing. Yay, because I was kind of nervous, you know, a couple hours ago. So, everybody have a wonderful week. Susie, thank you again. Write your book. I'll write another one, and we'll compare notes.
Yay.
Everybody have a happy day. Good night, everybody. Good night.